welcome to the ECM podcast series. I'm Carly Weller, Group Editor of Electrical Contracting News, electricalcontractingnews.com and the ECN Awards. This podcast series will be covering all things electrical contracting and we'll be interviewing contractors, suppliers, manufacturers and associations, empowering electrical contractors with the insights they need to excel in their work. Today I'm joined by ECN Sales Director Kelly Byne, Steve Humphreys, NAPIT's Technical Commercial Manager and Andy Duffin, NAPIT's Technical Commercial Engineer. Welcome everyone, it's great to see you all. Steve and Andy, we haven't seen you since the ECN Awards last December. How have you been and how was the night for you both?
Well, I've recovered, if that's what you mean, Carly. Just about, we're into February now and I have recovered, but what an absolutely great night. Those awards are just absolutely tremendous and it was a real privilege for our organisation to be involved and obviously Frank Bertie being one of the judges. But I can't explain to you how much I look forward to it. It's already in my diary for this year, so I hope I'm getting an invite. But yeah, we were on a real fun table as well, which really helped.
I put you all right.
it was just great to celebrate the industry quite rightly and you know reward people for all the hard work that goes into our wonderful industry.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. I've just about recovered from it. But yeah, definitely had a great table on there. We had a real good bunch of people from different parts of the industry, so some good networking. And as Steve said, it was great to celebrate the industry. And we need to celebrate the industry more because it's a fantastic industry as well. And the work that you guys do behind the scenes to put on an event like that is fair play and credit to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Before we get started, can you guys tell us a bit more about NAPIT itself and your roles at the organisation?
Yeah, so NAPIT, most people consider us to be a competent person scheme provider. We're a lot more than that. We do that. We've got various schemes for electrical contractors and other trades. But, you know, we, as an organisation, we're involved in training. You know, we offer training across the spine of the country, really. And also, we've got a commercial side to us where we'll do publications and other things for our members. But basically, the core of what we are, we're a member organisation. So our members are paramount to what we do. And mine and Andy's role really is to look after those members from a point of view of giving them the latest up-to-date information, doing things like this, like podcasts. We do monthly webinars. We do a competent person magazine to give them technical information. So although me and Andy sit under the commercial aspect of the company, we're both technical. So that's the thing. We're sort of the front-facing roles, really, which is mad because I'm a ginger-haired, brummy glasses wearer. An electrician and somehow someone thought it was a good idea to employ me to do front facing things.
We've got two brummies as well to do it. We probably need subtitles for most of the videos that we put out there, don't we, Steve? to be fair. Basically that's what we do in a nutshell. We also sit on some committees as well, JPAL, RAG and so on, mainly for regulation point of view, for updates and keep on top of that. And also NAPIT has the NAPIT Foundation that we both work alongside with. What that does is we go up and down colleges up and down the UK and our business manager, Tim Nixon, goes there. What that means is if you're a student, you can join the NAPIT Foundation. You get all the membership perks that a paying member would have, but obviously you can't sign off your work with us as well. So that's a really good cause, I think. The NAPIT Foundation is something I'm passionate about because both me and Steve have had a background in education and training as well.
So today we'll be talking about the future of electrical compliance, electrical safety and the skills gap. Steve, how are regulations evolving in the UK electrical industry?
Well, that's a great question. My first thing that springs to mind is very, very quickly, probably more quickly than I've experienced in all my years of being on the tools and then in education and then to this role. And that's mainly due to the onset of renewable technologies, if I'm perfectly honest. We've got out of the sort of standard sort of lighting and powering most of our buildings now. We just use electricity in a myriad of ways that's just mind-blowing. It's an exciting time, but it's also a challenging time. So to come back to the regulations question, the regulation standards and guidance, is fast moving. Like I say, we sit on various committees, as Andy just said, involving BSN 671, which for those that don't know is the wiring regulations that we all have to follow as electrical installers and designers. And those are regular meetings that discuss various things, and they're becoming more and more complex. And that's challenging because we've got some very clever people in these meetings, but we're trying to solve very complex solutions. And I think the industry at the moment, especially with renewables and smart homes and EV charging, is becoming very product driven. And that's great because manufacturers are leading the way with new innovations, but we're almost trying to catch up. And what we're seeing at the moment is we're seeing the manufacturer-driven aspect of it. Then we catch up with the regulation, standard and guidance. And then the installer is the one to know last. And that's why we get our technical helpline, which we didn't mention. Obviously, we've got a technical helpline for members as well. We get a lot of calls on these new changes and what's going on in the industry. So I think there needs to be a more joined up approach where maybe manufacturers and installers are involved in these bigger, higher up meetings, for want of a better word, because, you know, we're sort of missing a little bit of communication there. So it is tough. We are trying our best. You know, to give you an example, we've just released a guide on solar PV, and you can guarantee by the time Amendment 4 comes out in 2026 next year, you know, some of that's going to be out of date because the industry's moving so quickly. So any guidance you give, where it would have stood the test of time for maybe a year, 2-3 years, it's now probably 6 months shelf life on certain technologies.
Andy, what practical advice can you give contractors to stay ahead of compliance changes?
That's a very difficult question to answer, especially if I get my contractor's head on, because you're busy working and then you've got to find time to stay on top of these changes. But yeah, I can give some advice on there. Obviously, Steve alluded to it at the moment, 2026 Amendment 4 of the BSM 671, our wiring regulation, comes out, and that's going to be a massive change. It's most likely going to be a new wiring regulation book. That's how big the changes are. Usually when there's amendment in the books previously, you can just download a free copy and attach it to the wiring regulations itself. But this is going to be a massive change. So I think in 2026, it's going to be a big year for contractors to stay on top of compliance changes. And a way I would advise to do that would be ongoing training. So obviously, NAPIT, we provide a lot of training courses as well. So we do obviously wiring courses, we do renewable courses, so solar, battery, energy storage, heat pumps, inspection and testing, fire alarm courses. So we cover all the range of courses that electrician or contractor would need. So that would be one advice. Obviously, CPD is a big part of any electrician's contractor's role day in, day out. And you can do that by attending industry events. So we're just about to get into a trade season show, ain't we, Steve?
Yeah.
So it starts off with the ELEC show in Bolton. That's always a good place to go for CPD because there'll be seminars on there hosted by us and other organisations where there's 6 talks a day, Steve. Is that correct? I've got that right?
Yeah, 6 or 7 talks, yeah.
So there's a lot of CPD in one day that you can fill on there for it, so I'd advise that. That's about it, really. It's very hard when you're working to find the time to go to these events or go to, you know, training and so on, because you might have time off work. Obviously, Steve mentioned that if you're a NAPIT member, we do a monthly webinar, and that's also CPD as well.
I think that's probably what's most daunting for a lot of electrician contractors, because things do evolve so quickly. If you're in this industry, you've got to be constantly evolving yourself and making sure you're up to speed with everything as well, new regulations, legislation. So if they're a member of NAPIT, you help that process, because obviously you keep them informed of all your webinars and your constant learning and evolving. So not so scary when you're an NAPIT member, because then you fill in all those gaps for them.
One other avenue, but it's a bit of a double-edged sword, is social media. And, you know, if you think about it, if you can go on YouTube and learn how to do absolutely anything these days, you know, I go on there for things like recipes randomly if I want to cook something new. You can do that in the electrical world, like I say, a double-edged sword, because you'll get something on there that doesn't comply, doesn't meet standards. It might be a DIYer having a go at something, which is obviously dangerous. But also there is some good stuff on there from trusted contractors, and you need to do your homework on that to see, to learn more about installs. And what's good about the shows that Andy mentioned is not only the CPD events, but you'll get to network with other contractors. I find sometimes those industry events, and we've all been to them, the networking part over a lunch is probably the best time you get the most good information. So there's lots of other ways in between the formal stuff that you can. And like Andy said, I remember my contractor days. I was terrible at paperwork. I was out there doing the job, quoting, trying to win work, actually installing it and moving to the next one. And that stuff gets left behind. So, ignorance isn't an excuse for bad installs, but actually I can see the difficulty for contractors. But we live in a social media world where you can access things a lot easier than you used to be able to.
Yeah, and we're at the events, aren't we, Stephen? We always say, come and see us at the stand, and we're more than welcome to have a conversation and try and answer any questions if we can on the day.
Electrical Contracting News is the leading title for the electrical contracting industry. Packed monthly with news, views, product releases, case studies, and much more, it's a must-read for any electrical contractor looking to stay informed, source new business, and increase their profits. If you prefer to get your news online, get along to electricalcontractingnews.com, which is updated daily. ECN is the last word in electrical contracting. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with ECN in print and online.
When it comes to safety, how does NAPIT support contractors in maintaining high safety standards?
It's just at the core of what we do as an organisation. We can't put anything out there in the ether that's technical that is misread or misinterpreted in points of safety. So when you think about an installer or a contractor's journey, that the important things to them and were to me back in the day was probably, and the customer, was cost, time, those kind of considerations. But with my NAPIT head on, safety is probably my first design consideration. So I'd look at the fundamentals of BS 7671 and say, are you installing equipment safely? Has it got a British standard or a European norm to it? So it's not some spurious thing you bought off the internet. So anything we do, from webinars to podcasts to technical articles for our members and the wider industry, has got that safety standards in mind. And to be honest, I see that across the industry for the organisations we work with, especially with the onset of renewables. I know this term is used far too often, but it is really true at the moment. We don't want to create that race to the bottom. We've all been in a situation where we've got some quotes for work we've had done, and we've got a top, middle and bottom, and the bottom seems, oh, that's a bit cheap. The top, you can't afford it, so you go for the middle quote and hope it works. But what we would say is just make sure that the contractors out there are putting their jobs in properly for their customers. And we've got technical help to do that as well. If they're ever struggling, the technical helpline, they can ring up. Sometimes we get non-members ring up, but it's mainly for our members, and say, look, I'm really struggling to understand this. How can I do this safely? And I think generally standards are high. But, it's like anything, the bad installs and the bad contractors get the press, don't they, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we've also got our books, haven't we, Steve, our guidance books, and we've got seven, am I right in quoting, seven technical books out there that we've published?
I think so, I lose track.
Yeah, we've got, and members can buy them and non-members can buy them, and obviously Steve mentioned that obviously we've just recently launched our solar PV book that Steve's accredited author there of. That put a lot of hard work into that book, and we've got our it's a good book. You've got Code Breakers, which is our biggest seller, which helps support people doing condition reports, and we've got other books as well, but those can be useful guides as well for you as well. If you're struggling to understand something, reading a book, I know like Steve said, mentioned going on to watching a video, but these technical books, they are good and they're technical for a reason. We hang our hat on them, don't we, Steve, in the sense that what we say in that book is correct. And if you follow that book and the method of that book, your installation should be safe and sound.
Okay, great. So guys, what's new for NAPIT this year?
It's fastest, I would say, Steve, isn't it? We're in the process of hopefully releasing a new version of the fastest app and desktop. We're currently testing it and on there. So if people don't know what fastest is, it's basically a one fit where you can go on and have all your electrical certifications in one place. And you can, instead of doing it handwritten, you can do it in a digital format, which is can be time saving and more professional for the customer as well. So we're obviously updating the app and the desktop to make it more streamlined, faster, user friendly, etc. So that's one of them, I would say. I don't know if I was allowed to say that or not, but there we go.
You've said it, Andy. It's fine. The other thing I would add to that is we've mentioned that it's show season and we attend the ELEC shows. And what we tried last year for the first time was we normally do our own expos, which are trade shows again, but they're separate. So we decided to bring them within the ELEC shows and the six of those around the country this year. And we bought our NAPIT Expo within the ELEC and it worked really well. So this year we've gone bigger and better. We've got our partners coming with us, various partners that will be with us in a NAPIT area, sort of, you know, where we've got loads of giveaways, loads of fun. And like I say, we've got a new stand for that. And we just think it's important that we're at those shows. One, commercially, obviously it benefits us because we can sell publications, we get new members, that, you know, that's good and do well for NAPIT. But also we always have at least 2, 3, maybe 4 technical people there just to be a face for our members as well, not only for the seminars, but actually to have those geeky conversations and just have a natter with members and wider industry. So it's open to all. Like I say, we're going bigger and better this year and we've got some great new ideas and giveaways. So we always want to be front facing and not shy away, because I think sometimes trade associations and CPS operators are sort of in the shadows a little bit. And we've always been proud of the fact that we are front facing and approachable.
Did I not hear something about boot camps as well?
Yes, we are going to be launching some training boot camps for renewables as well. So look out for that. Go onto the NAPIT website and look under the training and you will be able to, yeah, obviously there's some government funding involved, some of the boot camps for that, for various things. Obviously, we're waiting on this new Labour government just to put a bit more meat on the bones with some of that as well. And we are launching our new website, which should be out very, very soon, within weeks, I think, to make it a little bit more user-friendly. So lots going on at NAPIT at the moment, really is. It's exciting times to be part of it.
Okay, given the issue of the skills gap, how important are apprenticeships and full-time learners in sustaining the industry?
Yeah, I think on that one, again, if I think about my previous role and my teaching head, which I was involved in education for a good few years, and trained apprenticeships, you know, they are so, so important. I can't stress that enough. From my own apprenticeship, which was a really good experience. And we're, you know, as we're recording this, we are in apprenticeship, National Apprenticeship Week, you know, so even more sort of importance on it. But my apprenticeship was a fantastic experience, you know, 3 to 4 years of industry training on the tools and obviously a technical college learning the theory. And it was just so good because I knew as a school leaver that I perhaps wasn't one for continuing further education. I seem to have done all my learning later on in life. So at 16, signing up for an electrical apprenticeship was one of the best things that happened to me and has given me a great career. But I think that is important for that skills gap. And we've got to encourage those people, like we said earlier, into the industry. And how we do that, we've got to start thinking out the box a little bit, because my worry is that there's lots of shiny things that young people look at as a career path that doesn't involve the technical trade. So, you know, as sort of some of the generation are wrapping up their businesses and running it down, we need that new breed of electrician, renewables engineer to enter into the market. What was encouraging, as we've done NAPIT Foundation, like Andy mentioned, is we are seeing some really good numbers on electrical apprenticeships across colleges. We've just took part in a Sparks Learner of the Year competition in early January. And speaking to some of the heads of department there, they were saying their numbers have never been so good. So it is encouraging to hear on the ground that people are coming in. We just need to make sure that they sustain on that, stay on program when we end up with qualified electricians at the end of it.
Yeah, and we're going to hear this word growth in the government as well, opportunity of growth. And we've talked about it previously. We've got so many new homes to build. We've got so many EV chargers to fit, heat pumps, etc. And we've got a skill shortage, and apprenticeships are going to fill that skill shortage massively. and we need to encourage people into apprenticeships. And like Steve said, I was probably similar to Steve. School wasn't probably the right route for me, and university wasn't the route for me either. And we see a lot of people going to university. I'm not knocking people going to university, but they come out with massive debts and with courses that don't really lead to any meaningful job. Where if you think about a trade apprenticeship, you know, most of them now are jobs for life. You know, AI isn't going to take over wiring houses or pulling cables in just yet. Maybe one day it will.
Robots, they'll have robots, Andy, that will just like do the job for them.
Well, that's it. If we go back to the Terminator film, Skynet will take over one day. We all believe that on there. But at the moment, like I said, you know, apprenticeship in a trade skill, you know, is a job for life and a well-paid job as well. And there's no debt.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've already touched on it a little bit, but sort of how do you think we can inspire young people to pursue a career in the electrical trade?
Well, I would say, like we've probably talked about earlier on, is we've got to partner more with schools and colleges at the early stage to highlight the benefits of apprenticeships as well. To, you know, as I just mentioned, the long-term benefits, job security, high earnings, especially as we just talked about this growth word that we're going to hear in the government. There's a massive chance of a real opportunity of a good career, because renewable energies are not going away. We want to be more energy independent. And I think basically in the future, most houses will have an EV charge point, maybe some battery storage, some solar panels, a heat pump. And electricians are the people who are going to be able to install that infrastructure. And that's going to take a long time to do as well. So there's massive opportunities on there. Maybe use some more social media as well to promote the industry as well. And a lot of social media nowadays is quite good promoting it as well. So I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying maybe we can do more.
Yeah,
I think for me, like I've said previously, young people have got a lot of choice at the moment and they seem to go for the shiny things. And I'll give it a personal example of my eldest, which makes me feel old because he was 24 a couple of days ago, which was actually yesterday. He went down the sixth form route university and really did struggle. You know, we had COVID in between, his mental health suffered, and ended up really coming out of university sort of not with what he wanted to achieve. And a subject of psychology he didn't really enjoy. So now he's moved back to the Midlands and he's looking at engineering apprenticeships, which is mad because he's gone full circle. And I'm really pleased, and he could probably go into an engineering apprenticeship at a higher level because of the background he's got. But actually, you know, I think it doesn't matter. You know, we mentioned in your question there about young people, but actually it's for everyone. And like we've said throughout this podcast, if we're going to meet this need and this growth and get these people's content, whether it's a school leaver or whether it's someone in their 40s, 50s, 60s, we need all avenues, really. Everything's on the table. As long as that training and competence ends up with good installers, that's the main thing that do it safely. I don't really worry too much about where that comes from.
Right, well, that's about it for this recording. Thank you all very much for joining us. If you'd like to be included in a future issue of ECN or an ECN podcast, please get in touch with either myself or Kelly. Have a great day. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the ECN podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with ECN in print and online. Visit electricalcontractingnews.com.